You're tuned to Booked on KD&K. I'm Gavin Dahl. Each week, we speak to journalists and authors about their work, and today you'll hear from two reporters. Coming up, Sue McMillan reviews the progress and often agonizingly slow pace of development for arts spaces in historic districts and rural towns in Colorado. But first, Bureau of Land Management staff confront leadership over the upcoming move of their headquarters from Washington, D.C. to Grand Junction, Colorado. My guest is Nick Bolin, reporter at High Country News, my very favorite magazine in the whole wide world. Thanks for speaking to KD&K, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
As you mentioned in your article, the Trump administration has rolled back dozens of regulations on public lands, shrunk national monuments, and promoted lifelong opponents of conservation to many key positions of oversight. The tagline of High Country News, the magazine, is "For people who care about the West." Why should people who care about the West be paying attention, in particular, to this big move the BLM is planning to make?
Well, the BLM move to Grand Junction is part of a larger effort by the Trump administration's Interior Department, first under former Interior Director Ryan Zinke and now with David Bernhardt, that, you know, some people see as a move to reduce the agency's oversight of the public lands it oversees in the West. Under Bernhardt and Zinke, there has been a consistent pattern of expansions on oil and gas drilling and cuts to regulations against extractive services on public land. And so the BLM move to Grand Junction, by some views, is an effort to reduce even more the agency's oversight authority on public lands. Now, the agency will tell you that the impetus behind the move is to put agency staff closer to the lands that it oversees, which are overwhelmingly in the West.
Before we drill down more on what's going on with the BLM, can you remind listeners, Nick, who is this new Interior Secretary, David Bernhardt, and why is he so controversial? So he wants to drill more on public lands. That's pretty predictable. But why is he being watched so closely right now?
So Bernhardt was officially confirmed to lead the department in April of this year. He was the acting secretary before that, after Ryan Zinke resigned. And he has an extensive list of conflicts of interest. He was a fossil fuel lobbyist for, you know, all sorts of companies. He spent his time lobbying the Interior Department. This was during the Obama administration, in the interest of the companies he represented. And there was a Washington Post story a while back about how Bernhardt carries around a card with him to keep track of all of the conflicts of interest that he has. He was also a lobbyist for various mineral rights. There were some mining proposals in Arizona and in other parts of the West that he was involved with. So he has an extensive ties to the fossil fuel industry, and this has, you know, raised some eyebrows, given that his actions in office have often been to cut regulations on oil, gas, and mineral extraction.
My guest is Nick Bolin, reporter at High Country News. His latest article explores upheaval amongst the rank-and-file career staff at the Bureau of Land Management. Talk about acting BLM director William Perry Pendley. What does it mean that he's a, quote, sagebrush rebel?
Well, so Pendley is the acting director of the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, which is within the sort of broader umbrella of the Interior Department. And Pendley was part of, he was a lawyer representing a movement that began in the 70s and 80s called the Sagebrush Rebellion. It first flared up in sort of the mid to late 1970s. And this was a movement by miners, loggers, and especially ranchers to reduce environmental laws in the West. You know, it was a reaction to things like the Wilderness Act and the Endangered Species Act, and especially something called the Federal Land Policy Management Act, which limited extraction on public lands. And there was a movement to transfer ownership of public lands either into state hands or into private hands. This broader movement became known as the Sagebrush Rebellion, and Pendley has at times represented them. As a lawyer, he has written opinion pieces expressing views about transferring land away from federal control into the states. His Twitter handle is sagebrush rebel, you know. And so Pendley's appointment to the head of an agency that he has spent many decades opposing was a shock to many.
You obtained audio of a September BLM staff meeting in Washington, D.C. You characterize this as a confrontation between BLM leadership and agency staff. Lay it out for us. What happened?
This audio offers a very sort of intimate portrait of a closed-door staff meeting between the Washington, D.C. agency staff and Pendley. And so Pendley appeared before his employees and took questions about the relocation to Grand Junction. It quickly became very clear, you know, in listening to this, that the agency staff felt like they had been left in the dark, like they didn't have a lot of details about, you know, this tremendous upheaval in the agency. They didn't know whether their jobs were going to move to Colorado or not. You know, many of them said that these are life-changing choices that confronted them. You know, they have kids in schools and mortgages and lives in Washington, D.C., and did not know whether their position was going to be transferred and they were going to have to make the decision whether to uproot their life and leave or leave the agency. And there were several instances where, you know, staffers accused Pendley and his boss Bernhardt of lacking, you know, moral courage, of calling the move a political endeavor. You know, Pendley gave somewhat vague or opaque answers at times, and the room would sort of laugh and jeer. And then there were other instances of people standing up and giving sort of very moving testimony about how morale was low in the agency. You know, people were worried about the agency functions and what this move and other changes to the agency that have happened under Trump were doing to their workplace and the mission of the BLM.
If long-term experienced staffers who kind of feel slapped in the face, obviously, by what you're hearing in this recording, are unwilling to move west, could that provide Trump, Bernhardt, and Pendley cover while they basically gut the agency from the inside?
This is in some ways sort of already happening, that you're seeing a brain drain. There were about a little under 30 agency positions slated to move to Grand Junction. Many of these are high-level, not political appointees, high-level career staff positions. So people who are in these positions have a lot of expertise. Several weeks after this recording took place, Secretary Bernhardt appeared in Grand Junction and said that the agency was posting 19 job openings. And, you know, it's not clear what exactly happened in each specific instance of those open positions, but that does suggest that of the jobs slated to move to Grand Junction, majority of those seem to be open. And, you know, the sort of people who are filling those jobs, it probably took many years, many decades to get to that role. And so it's hard to look at this any other way that there's a loss of expertise and possibly, you know, agency function in whatever the intent, that was the effect of this move.
You're listening to Booked on KD&K. My guest is Nick Bolin, reporter at High Country News. Talk about the location that BLM has selected for their new Grand Junction digs. Oil and gas industry lobbyists will share the exact same facility. Isn't that right?
That's right. There's a Chevron office in the same building, and there is also a Colorado State Oil and Gas Trade Group, as well as several other industry corporate offices in the same building.
No environmental groups, though.
No environmental groups. You know, so I went to Grand Junction a couple weeks ago, and I spoke to Colorado Senator Cory Gardner, who has long pushed this move. And, you know, he pointed out that Washington, D.C. is crawling with both oil and gas lobbyists and Sierra Club lobbyists, and that basically making the point that, you know, the physical location of the office, whether in D.C. or in Grand Junction, will doesn't really matter. Lobbyists will show up either way. But, you know, given sort of the context and some of the given the context of the agency's, you know, tendency to promote oil and gas extraction under the Trump administration, the news that it was sharing a building with energy corporations definitely raised some eyebrows.
High Country News obtained audio of this September BLM staff meeting, which really paints a picture of some discord within the organization. Of course, these career folks, many of whom are not partisan in their work at all, and are now being subjected to this very political agenda from the top. A few days after the staff meeting, Acting BLM Director Penn Lee appeared in front of the U.S. House Natural Resources Committee, and a big issue for Democrats in Congress and for people who care about the West, like High Country News readers, is what Pendley has said on the record over and over before he got into government, as you've talked about. Does he philosophically believe in federal land management at all? Is there any record of him thinking that his new role is something that should be done well?
Well, I don't know the mind of William Perry Pendley, but he has certainly made statements in the past that have questioned the very existence of the BLM and, you know, called into question its mission to maintain federal public lands. He has said over and over since taking the position of BLM acting director that he is going to follow orders and that his boss, Secretary Bernhardt, and President Trump oppose transfer of public lands to the states, and that he intends to uphold that mission. In that congressional hearing that you mentioned, this statement did not seem to mollify Democrats, who went after him pretty hard and have since threatened subpoenas of details regarding the move because they say that the agency has not been forthcoming with providing documentation of why the relocation and other reorganizations of the agency have taken place.
And yet Democrats like Governor Jared Polis are in a position where if they don't cheer this move, they're seen as not sticking up for the local economy, for example, in Grand Junction. It's a tough position to be in politically. Critics around the country worry what's happening here is consolidation of federal land management decisions among political appointees. One longtime strategic planner for BLM in D.C., who retired last year, named Kit Mueller, told a reporter for Bloomberg this week that consolidating decisions among top officials could lead to more oil and gas development on federal lands. Whether that proves true or not, you'd think a longtime veteran staffer, strategic planner at the BLM would be worth listening to. And I'm glad that reporters like you, Nick, and folks at Bloomberg and other outlets are continuing to pay attention to this. What happens from here? What's next?
Well, there are a lot of question marks going forward. Regarding that consolidation note, it's not clear whether the loss of career staff due to the Grand Junction move, what that will mean for agency decision-making. It is also unclear how certain the move is to take place. So Congress, in last year's fiscal budget, provided a little under $6 million for relocation, but that was when Republicans controlled the House. Now Democrats control the House, so they are in charge of the Interior Department spending bill for 2020, for the House version of the Interior Department spending bill for 2020, and they have currently set aside no money, no further money for the move to Grand Junction. The agency is obviously aware of this, and Bernhardt and Pendley say publicly that they're confident that the move will take place. But in the recording that we got, staffers were standing up and telling Pendley that, you know, they are intimately aware of the relationship between the agency and Congress, and that, you know, they were calling into question whether the entire move would be fully funded going forward. And it did not seem like Pendley gave an answer that satisfied them.
Well, we have to leave it there for time today. So great to meet you and speak to you, Nick. Thank you for your reporting, and congrats on your first year at High Country News, and hope that we'll talk again in the near future. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Have a good day.